Hi, everybody. It's Elaine Taylor-Klaus with Impact ADHD. It is currently Wednesday afternoon, February 17th of 2016. It's the 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. Today we're going to be talking about curiosity, which is one of my very favorite topics, and I know I always save that, but this one is just, it's the most, one of the most useful tools we have. And let's start with a little check-in and see how everybody's doing. And if you want to do check-in and take that directly into taking aim, that's totally cool. Up to you. And somebody was eager and excited to get going.
Yes, that's me. That's Julie.
Hello, Julie. All right, Julie, what are we talking about today?
Well, check-in seems like things have been going fairly well the last couple of weeks. And then last night and this morning, my son Logan was just on fire, extremely loud, which he's loud anyway, but this was just out of control loud, very much a pest. And I kept it pretty cool last night, but this morning it happened again, and on the drive to school, it was kind of ramping up again, and I just sort of lost it. And so I'm happy to be here today to kind of work on it.
Great. Good. So up until yesterday, it sounds like things were going all right.
It seemed fairly smooth. You know, the normal hiccups, but it felt smooth.
Okay. And that's actually a good sign. So if something comes up out of the blue, just mm-hmm. the quick direction for you is that usually means something's going on.
Yeah.
Right, because that's not it's not unprecipitated. It's something's going on.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't know what it is. So
right,
or I get to be curious.
Great. Today is a good day to be curious. Okay.
Yes.
So you want to take aim on really sort of dealing with this immediate situation.
Yes.
Immediate amping up.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Who else? Audrey, Megan? Somebody else has joined us too. Just real quick, let me check in who's here from Seattle.
Hey there, it's Tamara.
Hey, Tamara. Okay.
Hello.
Okay, so we're doing check-ins and taking aim. Audrey or Megan?
This is Megan. Right now, we're having problems with my son's, I guess, insomnia or inability to feel tired. And so 3 out of the 4 past nights, he's been up past 11 p.m., which... In turn,
well, where are you
then I stay up too late because I just want my alone time. So then I stay up past that, and so it's not good for anyone.
Anybody. Yeah. Okay. So you want to take aim on dealing with the sleep issue?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I didn't do this with Julie, but I want to ask you, and we'll circle back around to Julie. Just, you know, any successes, anything you want to celebrate or anything that feels good? Because I feel like we're diving into the problems today, and I want to make sure we remember to slow down. And
sure. Since the last time we talked, it was actually a couple days after our last call, my son brought home his first ever A+ NMAC test.
Aww.
That's
so exciting.
Yeah.
I don't think my kids ever got an A+ on a math test.
You had a lot of geometry on it, which that's his strong suit, so.
Yeah, so he's got a good visual processing eye.
Mm-hmm.
And good at spatial relations. Awesome. Nothing like play into their strengths, right?
Right.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Thank you. That's beautiful. So he got an A+ on a math test, but he's having a hard time sleeping.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Who else? Audrey, what about you?
Let's see. We continue to struggle, as we have been for the last couple of months, with a medication change and just feeling like we can't quite find the right dose of the new medication. And so that is the big thing is that it's causing problems at school. And so I'm starting to hear from his teacher in the last couple of weeks that I think the bottom line is that he's bored and he's unmotivated. And sometimes that is defiance in the classroom. Sometimes it's just kind of, you know, low effort behavior or, you know, a presenter is in the classroom and he's facing the other direction, you know, off task, low effort, and sometimes defiance or refusal to learn or accept help. And he's in a special school for gifted kids, and, you know, the teacher's comment was, you know, let's talk at conferences in a couple of weeks about whether he belongs here or not.
Does this school do twice E? Is it due 2E?
I'm sorry, is it 2E?
So 2E is twice exceptional, kids
right.
who are both gifted and challenged.
The school is not 2E. The school is, you know, for gifted kids above a certain test, you know, they test above a certain level. There are, I'm pretty sure there are other 2E kids in there, but it's not
it a
school for 2E, right.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah,
so what do you want to take aim on?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, he's clearly more frustrated and just harder to kind of deal with at home. I've actually been working really hard on taking aim on the school issue and, you know, getting really curious about what's going on for him. And I think we've made some good progress. And the solution that we have in place new this week is what I think is a nice, like, behavior tracking chart that he fills out each period of the day. He fills out, you know, kind of a smile, flat face, or frown. And there's a goal set in terms of, you know, how many points he earns, and then that comes home, and there are rewards at home daily and weekly for that. So, you know, because he can't get inspired for one reason or another.
Right.
So let's, you know, we're trying to provide some external support. And so he came home yesterday, and I'm really grateful to say, like, he got an almost perfect score. You can earn 42 points in a day, and he got 41. So
that's
totally awesome. You know, maybe that problem is solved, but, you know, or maybe it's whatever.
So here's can I reframe that for you?
Yeah.
That is the nature of his problem, is finding motivation to do anything at any time,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not that it's solved, but you found one avenue that really works.
Right. I mean, it's not solved in the sense that it's going away or whatever, but we were able
right.
to successfully scaffold him externally to
yep.
help him, you know, manage his internal struggles. And, you know, how
yep.
long it will last or whether, you know, today will be a different story, I don't know, but it worked yesterday, and I'm hopeful, you know, and so I'm not sure, I don't feel like taking aim on it, because it seems like
yep.
maybe the work we've done has just paid off, and I need to wait and see there.
Yep.
At home, I think we're doing the same, you know, just trying to deal with the, you know, just have a lot of compassion and understanding for, yeah, he's having a hard time quitting the book because, you know, this is legitimately hard for him, and just overcome the psychology of, like, he was doing so well before. And,
yeah.
And so trying to just shift our expectations back and figure out how to just work on, okay, we need a new method for you to, you know, stop reading at night or stop electronics or take your shower or eat dinner or whatever it is. So I don't know what to take aim on
at the moment. Is there anything that you find yourself having a hard time with? Because maybe the place is not to focus on him, but what's hard? Because this is a hard place to be. I mean, there's nothing worse than feeling like your kid is a pharmacological experiment, right?
Yeah.
It's a terrible place to be.
I mean, it's hard to feel like we're just that dependent on the medication, and to feel
yeah.
like, you know, here's a kid who's a genius, and, you know, can he live up to his potential, or is he so burdened with a disability that he can't, you know?
Mm. And so Yeah, keep that now in there because he's only eight.
Yeah, he's eight. He's eight.
He's got a lot of developing to do.
Yep.
Right. He's only eight. But what would be helpful for you to focus on right now? Because this is a stressful time.
It is. We have a lot of other things going on in our life right now in terms of just moving and other destabilizing. Yeah, we have. Go ahead.
You're moving and doing med trials at the same time?
Yeah, isn't that fun? It's a local move. But we're renting a house and the lease is going to be up in a couple of months and we need to find a new place to live. Hopefully it won't mean school changes or job changes or any big stuff. But I mean, moving your possessions from one place to another is never fun.
No, it's definitely, and it will uproot. I mean, if you weren't seeing behaviors.
Yeah.
From him before, you will see it from that kind of transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So again, I wanted to sort of hone in, and it may be that your focus needs to be self-care.
I'm trying to pay attention to that, but I think I probably can't pay attention to that too much.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you. So I'm going to go to Tamara and come back to you, but I really want you to try to get yourself to say, okay, at least this I can focus on, whatever that is. And I'm guessing that it's really more about you than about him. It's like how you're managing something, and would it help you or others if you managed whatever that is a little bit better?
Yeah.
So just think about that.
Okay.
So Tamara, what about you?
I think... For taking aim, I think what I'd like to take aim on, well, I'll say a caveat. So today is my son's meeting at, he's in middle school, first year, and it's his 504 meeting today after school, which I understand is a three-year review, even though it's first at the school for us. So what I'm thinking about right now might change after I actually get feedback. This will be interesting because, as you know, once they're in middle school, you don't have that contact anymore to really know what they're doing besides their grades, which doesn't really necessarily tell you what they're doing.
Exactly.
So, I know what's missing, what's not missing, but I'm really interested in, is he paying attention in class and which classes is he really tuned out in, et cetera. I have my ideas from information from him. So what I do feel like would be a worthy thing to pick aim on is me starting to look at where I can pull, very specifically in the realm of him doing work, he comes home and we talk about doing homework. I really support him a lot right now in I go online to the school site and I look at what's posted by the teachers as due, and he now is maybe writing down something in one class. He's pretty stubborn about writing down his work, and I'm thinking that there are certain areas I could start maybe pulling back a little to have him step up in being more responsible. I feel like in this community, you all know that, outside people can say, well, they should do this or you're doing too much. And I know that I'm not. I know that I need to help make it possible. But I also know with our clever kids, like my Max knows that I'm going to be able to look online, or he'll say, well, I don't know. Did you look? I didn't write it down. Did you look online? it starts being not, he'll rely on me taking up that slack.
So where I'm hearing you want to take aim is sort of passing the baton to him on, and I want you to get specific. Is it knowing what his homework is, planning it, getting started in it? What piece of it
just
time to delegate?
Just delegating, knowing what you're responsible for, what the homework is. I will still stay in there and help get making sure he gets started, make sure he's moving along. I don't mind. I'm even writing things down right now, even though he can, so he can cross it off. He needs to be writing down more of the assignments while he's at school.
Well, so I want you to step back from what he needs to be doing, and let's look at the bigger issue here that you're taking aim on is him beginning to take ownership for knowing what his homework is.
Exactly.
Okay, let's not look at he should be doing this or that, because those are all systems, and we don't know.
Okay.
And that's a great place to get curious. But what you do know is it's time to pass the baton to him for just knowing what his homework is?
I think he's ready now to be able to do
okay.
that. Not in the
Brilliant.
Beginning of the year, but now.
Brilliant. Okay. It's a
okay.
great, very specific place to take aim. Love it.
Great.
I love it. Mark, do you want to add anything to what Julie was saying, or is there a different place for you to focus on today? And he may have us on mute, so. Okay. I'm going to assume we're muted. Come back to me if you hear this and you're ready to engage. And if not, we'll just pretend you're there.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, no problem.
Hello, hello.
Oh,
hello.
There he is.
Yeah. I'm at the restaurant ordering lunch for the crew, so I was on mute and I had to put the phone down. So.
No problem.
Right.
I was just checking in to see if there was anything else you want to take aim on today or any other celebrations for you or issues.
No, I'm good. I'm just
okay.
listening.
Great. Cool. All right, bye. Audrey, I'm circling back to you before we start talking. any more thoughts on where you want to take aim?
Yeah, I think you're right on about needing to focus more on self-care. It's something I have been thinking about and trying to focus on in general. I'm not sure how to get specific enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing some things. I'm sort of doing a mishmash of different things self-care-wise. And so I don't know if it's about, you know, making a commitment that, you know, once a week, just making sure I make that commitment to myself of I am going to, you know, have this alone time or...
So here's where I would stop you and say, I don't know either, and that's the job of taking aim is to look at the outcome you want. Improved self-care, improved, you know,
okay.
being
right.
more aware of taking care of yourself. The how will come.
Okay.
And so, and just sort of a reminder for everyone is that sometimes we try to take aim on the strategy, right? Like just what you were just saying, Tamara, you wanted to take aim on having him write down his homework. And
right.
The change is not writing down the homework. That's a structure or a strategy to achieve it. The change is having him own knowing what his homework is. So for you, Audrey, the change is prioritizing self-care a little higher.
Okay.
How you're going to do that, I don't know yet, and you'll figure it out.
Right.
Right. And just as a general rule, when you're at a place when there's a lot going on and life is in that sort of uber stressful place, and you don't know what to take aim on, general rule of thumb, take aim on self-care. Because it's always going to be lacking, you know, and it's always going to help everything else when you take care of yourself. So that's my default rule of thumb on self-care. Okay, so let's talk, and I'm not going to talk at length about the topic for today because we've all talked about it in different ways, and curiosity is one of those topics that comes up again and again and in the context of all of the other things that we talk about. You know, curiosity is a critical tool that we use when we're trying to focus on compassion, and it's a great tool to use when you're focusing on non-judgment. And because curiosity is really about putting yourself in your kids' eyes, is looking through their lens and trying to get really clear about what's going on, what's underlying the behaviors that are frustrating or a problem or whatever. And, you know, if you look back to the model, you know, we teach curiosity as a separate coaching tip because it's something that both Diane and I each learned in coaching school as a strategy. But we also, it's really the fundamental tool that we use in step two of the model, which is collecting information, right, getting educated. So after we take aim, the next step is always to say, okay, what's going on? What do we know? What information will help us begin to plan around this? And curiosity is a powerful tool for that because it's about stepping outside of ourselves and our own stories and our own assumptions and judgments and all of those things that we tend to bring and taking a bird's eye view of the situation, of the dynamic, and then looking at it from the angles of all the different players. So it's about what's happening that's influencing my behavior around you know, for example, my son, you know, my son's homework or not doing his homework or not owning that piece of it. What's my son's perspective? And Tamara, your intro was a great intro to this, actually, because you're scaffolding and you realize that you may be over-scaffolding at this point because he may be ready for something else. He may not be stepping up to the plate because he knows you're going to cover it, and why should he bother? Like, you've already looked at some of these different lenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these lenses.
Right.
And so curiosity is about, you know, looking at all of the different lenses that you can and getting a full flavor picture of what's going on. There's a tool we use in some private coaching that's called a balance wheel, and part of the exercise is to look at any dynamic from a number of different perspectives, and they encourage you to look at sort of off-the-wall perspectives, like what's the dog's perspective, what's the bubblegum perspective, what's the fly-on-the-wall perspective, because it really forces you to see something from a range of different views and to open up, expand your curiosity, and see things from different ways. So whether you're dealing with a sleep issue like Megan is, and you know you've got some med issues maybe going on, insomnia issues going on, that may be relevant there. You know, Julie and Mark have got something, clearly something's going on, this issue of him sort of amping up and there's something happening. And so when you can get curious about it, you stay out of judgment, you stay out of blame, and you're really able to problem solve. So I want to just stop there and let's have a little conversation about it before we do, see if there's some coaching we want to do around it. So what comes up? What are you thinking? It's a tool I think we've all used already, so what do you like about it? What's challenging about it? What are you noticing? Don't you hate it when I shut up and you guys have to talk?
Yeah. This is Julie. I know I forget to do this, and I'm not sure why I forget to do it. It's so almost seems so simple, but I just forget to. I guess in my straightforward mind, I think, well, you should be doing this, so why aren't you doing it? But I don't go the further step to actually kind of dig in and ask them the questions and sort of try to sit from their perspective and think of what else could be going on that's making them act
so
strange.
So when do you tend to get curious?
When? Is
yeah.
that what you said?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know that I do.
Ooh. What about anybody else? When do you notice that it's a really useful tool, or do you tend to use it already?
This is Tamara. Well, I'm going to say that when I don't is when I'm emotionally engaged, intense, frustrated, angry kind of thing. It's very hard to step out of my own head and my own point of view, because when you're talking about curiosity, I think of being able, like you talked about, looking at from someone else's eyes. So I spend a lot of time in my head. You know, you try to figure out what your child's doing, but I'm still in my own head and why I think they would do it this way or why they wouldn't do this. When I'm not as emotionally charged, it's easier for me to approach it differently. You know, I mean, when I'm not at that point of frustration.
Right.
You know, because then it's very
when you're
hard
not triggered.
To get out. When I'm not triggered. Because
yeah.
then when I'm triggered, I even know, you know, like, okay, I'm repeating myself. That's something I do when I'm angry. Like, I already said it
right.
to you. I'm going to say it two more times in my angry voice so that you really know, you know, which they're very clear, my children, in telling me, like, you know, you already did that. You know, you can stop. You can stop repeating
right.
yourself now. I'm going to be walking out of the room away from your voice. So, but yet, you'd think that would be a good signal, but it can't make me turn it off. Sometimes I'll follow them. So when I'm not in that triggered state, there are times when I could really hear my, you know, either of my children and think, huh, I wonder what, you know, I try to think of what it is like the child and, you know, how I felt at that point. I guess, you know, trying to put myself in
that
place. You know, like, you know, with my daughter, it's much more. She's a 13-year-old now. It's easier for me to think, wow, I do remember this. So I can, and it really changes the way I approach talking to her now.
That's
great. Trying to think of me as
can I encapsulate what I just heard from you?
Sure.
So what I heard was, when you're triggered, it's really hard to get curious. And that you do tend to get curious, you're just doing it from a triggered state. So you're still thinking about what makes them do that, but you're coming from a place that's more triggered and judgy and less really open and curious.
Super judgy.
Right. And so when you hear, and this is, I realized this earlier this week, when you hear yourself say something like, why can't he just, or why did he, or that's a great time to get curious. It's a clue that curiosity is the tool you need. Because whenever they do something that has you kind of going, why can't he just, then it's like, oh, wait a minute. There's probably an answer to that question. And it's a great strategy. But so for you, it may be recognizing when you're triggered and doing the steps to calm down, right? Escaping the stress cycle before you try to do anything, including getting curious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for you, curiosity may not be the issue. The issue may be you can't access curiosity when you're triggered. And that's a great aha, you know. What about anybody else?
This is Audrey. I just want to this whole experience with troubles at school, curiosity was a hugely important tool for me because, for one thing, I'm not at school. So, you know, I'm always trying to filter information based on, you know, his reports, which are not entirely accurate. And,
his interpretation,
Yeah, so, you know, I have this teacher telling me, like, he's exhibiting low-effort behaviors, which, you know, like, is she saying she thinks he's lazy? You know, is he really being lazy? Like, what is behind his lack of motivation, right? And so I wrote an email to her, like, four times because I, like, wanted to defend my son, you know? And I kept, I kept it in the drafts folder and kept not sending it. I finally convinced myself that, like, you really have to understand, like, what is going on for him before you can say anything in response to this. And he and I have had a couple of heart-to-hearts over the weekends. And, you know, for me it was a lot about this distinction of, okay, if you're asked to do something that's challenging, like if you're going to climb the rock wall and you can't even get a toe hold, you know, and a first hand hold, then, of course, you're eventually just going to say, this is impossible, I quit.
Forget it. Yeah.
And I question whether he's got some learning disabilities and stuff. And so I was trying to figure out, like, is that what's going on? Does she need to break whatever it is down into a smaller step for him so that he can feel some sense of mastery so that he can continue in the challenge? Or is it that he's just, you know, bored and copping an attitude and the whole thing is just, you know, he's an 8-year-old boy, doesn't like school. What a surprise that is, you know. Like, is it this global kind of I just don't see the point of any of this. And, you know, those are two very
different... He's a little young for that. I just in terms of setting realistic expectations, seriously.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, he's not like, oh, I want to get a great job when I grow up, so I'll do great in school. You know, I mean,
I mean the opposite. Oh. At 8 years old is a little young to be jaded by school. Right? 8 years, I mean, 15, yeah, I get it. But 8 is a little young to be saying, you know, because 8-year-olds are curious.
Mm.
He's smart as hell, you know?
Mm.
So he's curious.
He's kind of precocious in this regard, though. I mean, he's...
Yeah,
I bet. You know what I mean by that? Like, he's very, you know... He's got the plan. He's like, well, I don't need this because I'm going to grow up and mow lawns for a living, and, you know, I don't see the point of any of this. Like, he's got it all kind of reasoned out, you know?
Oh, well, it's good that he's got a job aspiration.
Yeah, yeah. I think there were some flaws in his plan. But anyway, curiosity was a big, it was really important because it helped me figure out what to, you know, where to apply a solution.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I'm hearing from what you're saying is that you weren't just being curious by yourself, right? You were taking input. You were taking input from the teacher. You were taking input from him. And
right.
you were filtering it all, right?
Right.
As
right.
you got to do. But taking the time to really get curious about what's happening for him, what his experience is, without judgment, and that's the key, can give you a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it makes me think about I walked away from my computer, so I don't have my notes. Who is dealing with it's Julia Mark that your son started to get really agitated lately?
He started to get what?
Agitated or amped up?
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, obviously curiosity, but what's your gut tell you is going on? What do you think?
Well, you know, I talk to Logan often in the evenings, and he says he's picked on at school a lot. And
is that new?
So he comes, no, and actually, a girl was suspended who was picking on him, saying things about his family and, you know, yada, yada. Anyway, that was resolved. And but, it's, you know, the kids are... You know, your shoes aren't as good as my shoes.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And he takes it to heart. And so, you know, he thinks his worth is based on the value of his shoes, his
wow.
self-worth. And so he goes to school. He has a rough time at school with that. He comes home. He can't play his video games or whatever. And then he explodes and has a tantrum and doesn't understand why. Yesterday he had a very active day after school, and so he was kind of headachy, dehydrated, kind of worn out.
Yeah.
So I think that had a lot to do with his behavior.
Yeah.
That and then not being able to do the things that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Evening,
well, it shortens if he's not feeling well, if he's hungry, if he's tired, if he's dehydrated, then it will shorten his fuse and his ability to handle frustration.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what happens.
And so, and you know, I remember when my kids were really little, I was shocked that I had something. One of my kids, and she was a baby still at the time, and started having serious behavior issues, and I called a pediatrician, and she called me back. She said, it's a sinus infection. And I said, what? She said, bring her in. I bet it's a sinus infection. And it was. And it really, really impacted her behavior.
Sure.
And that stuck with me. I mean, 20 years later, that has stuck with me, you know, because there's some way in which we forget that when we don't feel well, it's hard to sort of collect ourselves. It's hard to keep our reserves up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so when we're getting curious, that's a great place to look, is what Mark's saying, is that, you know, there's some social emotional stuff going on, there's some physiological stuff going on, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, this morning he told me he was tired. And I said, okay, well then, he has baseball practice tonight, but I said, well, if you're tired, then we need to not go to baseball practice and you need to go to bed early. And he agreed. So, which baseball is his thing. So he must really understand that he really is tired for him to agree to that.
Yeah. You guys, I'm muting for a second just because my dogs just went nuts. So bear with me one second, but what I want to acknowledge is that what you're recognizing is that there is really something going on, and he is too. So he's a great source of information for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, bear with me one second. I'm really sorry.
Well, just to be funny, I wanted to record the noise level in my house last night between the drum set and the yelling and the banging of the dishes on the counter, I thought, if I could just get this on audio, somebody would understand the struggle.
It reminds me of, did anybody remember the movie Tarzan, the kids' movie?
No.
Great scene in the camp, around the camp where there, it's like drums and music, and it's all from like the pots and the pans and the.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we definitely have loud houses.
Yeah,
definitely do. So, so what I'm hearing from what you and Mark are saying is that, you know, when you can get curious about it and really, really stay out of judgment and frustration, because I know it's frustrating when they start behaving like that, right?
Yes.
But when you can get curious instead of taking it personally, we can step in and say, whoa, something's wrong, something's off, right? Not only does it help you cope with it, but it also helps you help him cope with it. You know, because you can go to him and say, wow, something's going on because this is not like you. Can we talk about it? Can I help you? To normalize for them that that's not their normal behavior, to be off and crazy, helps them be able to talk to you and access curiosity in a different way or explain to you what's going on in a different way. So what else is coming up?
Anybody?
Go ahead. What'd you say, Mark? I'm sorry.
I said, were you still talking to me and Julie or to everybody?
Well, to everybody. I mean, that's sort of my next question is, does anybody want to sort of take the topic you targeted today and do a little laser coaching on it? Tamara, do you want to, Tamara or Megan, we really haven't heard much from either of you yet. Does this resonate for you? Do you want to talk about it or no? It's fine if you don't.
Sure, sure. Unless Megan wants to jump in, I will have some laser coaching for this. That'd be great.
Okay. Well, I think yours is a topic everybody's going to deal with at one point or another. Because we're really talking about passing the baton for him to start owning his homework, right?
Right, right.
Okay. So clear on taking aim, and now as we collect information and get curious, what are you aware of?
I'm aware that at least several classrooms have boards where the teachers write the assignments up and have it up on the board. So it's already up there when a child walks into the classroom. Mm-hmm. I'm not in there, but I do know that that's a practice. I suppose I can't assume it's in every class.
Okay, before you get to the tactics of getting the information, let's step back from that. Okay.
Okay.
Started with this a little earlier. What do you know about the dynamic that's happening?
Oh, I like the scaffolding. So I really provide support for Max, and that's what you're asking me, what I already know, like what I know for certain, right? So I know that I provide support for him, and I know that he's been better at doing his work and better at being able to actually sit down and work. Not all the time, but I mean, there's no oppositional behavior right now around homework. That doesn't mean that he will sit there without fiddling and throwing pencils and fiddling with things and dragging time. But it's a very different thing from, I'm not going to do this.
Okay.
Which was a reality before. So I know he's willing to do work, and I also know that he feels accomplishment when he's completed work.
He feels what? Say it again.
I know that he feels a sense of accomplishment.
Okay.
When he
completes
work.
So he's starting to own his work in terms of he's not fighting doing it, and he does get a sense of accomplishment when he's completed it.
I believe so.
Okay. And what do you know about his perspective? And you know that you scaffold a fair amount and that it's been effective,
mm-hmm.
and that you're sort of, you see a place where it's time to sort of, as I say, pass the baton.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think think his perspective is on the issue of how do I know what homework I'm supposed to do at night.
I'm not sure. Are you asking, like, how – say that for me again.
What do you think his thinking is? Right now he knows, okay, when Mom sets it up, I sit down and I do – when she tells me it's time to do homework, I do my homework and I feel good when I get it done. Right?
Mostly, yeah.
For the most part,
I mean,
right.
Yeah,
we're oversimplifying.
Absolutely.
I get that.
No, but certainly. I've tried to, and I want to answer exactly the question you're asking.
No, it's okay.
Answer whatever question feels like the right question for you.
Well,
because, I'm sure he relies on me in certain ways to not have to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have the wonderful internet that provides, you know, where teachers can post the work, he knows that it's a safety net. Well, it'll be posted. And we've
mm-hmm.
already worked on things where sometimes a teacher doesn't post it online. And then he doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I did have an interaction yesterday where he came home and he said, oh, well, there would be a math substitute and I don't have the work. I didn't write it down and it was a substitute. And so when I went on to the website, it was not written down. And I said, well, why didn't you write it down? I had said, get math down. Like, I'm trying to get him to, sort of like baby steps, make sure you write down the math assignment, you know, like piece by piece instead of just saying,
so can I stop
no
you
all.
For a minute? I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue, it sounds like, is not, there's sort of two issues that I'm hearing. One is him owning, this is my homework that I've got to do tonight. But the other is, what I'm hearing you saying is that the online system is flawed, so he really needs to bring it home because otherwise it may not be accurate.
Correct.
So those are two different issues. Which of those does your instinct tell you needs to be addressed first?
The ownership. He needs to start having ownership that he needs to know what he's supposed to do.
Okay. So are you willing to let go for a minute whether or not it works every night because they've got it written on, because the Schoology or whatever the system
mm-hmm.
is or is not working effectively? Like, can you focus on just on the issue of his ownership first and know that one of the next steps of taking AIM down the road is going to be then making sure that he's got the current assignments because the teachers may not be using the system properly. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds like if I just focus on him taking ownership and I'm willing to do that, that means the consequences I have to let go if he doesn't complete things or if he doesn't have it right. Which is pretty hard. I've worked really hard to get – previous calls have been me talking about having missing assignments and not turning things in. And
But there's also a place for you in terms of advocacy with the school around that because, you know, if we've got a kid with executive function issues
mm-hmm.
and the school is not – and the school has said we're going to have this online system so they can check their homework and then they don't get accurate information – the kid is only somewhat responsible for that. I mean, there is a school issue here too, right? So is he really? That's sort of yet a third issue, right? That's an advocacy issue. But I want you to see that when you don't separate out the writing down the assignments from the ownership in the first place, those are very different issues. And so you really want to focus on one first, and I think you're right to choose the ownership issue first, because then he's got a motivation to want to write down the assignments or to capture them in some way. I don't care if he writes it down or takes a picture or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
But he's got to get that it's his job first, and right now it's still your job.
That's a pretty tough thing. With us, one thing that still persists is this ability to blame other people and everybody else for things that he should be on, you know.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. Like a paper that he's supposed to work on every week, and the team, you know, someone that's in their table, the table person is supposed to get that paper and bring it back to you. And then he doesn't have that. And I said, why don't you have this? Well, the table person didn't bring it to us. And that's when I get engaged and say, well, this needs to be on you. This is only about you. It doesn't matter about how. This is on you. So I'm having trouble getting through. This is on you.
So
you know?
Pull back from that for a second, okay? Because we know why these kids defensively lie, right, and why they point and they blame, because they're tired of being wrong all the time. And so they find they're the quintessential Tom Sawyers, right? They're so good at everybody else is responsible except for themselves, because otherwise they'd be wrong all the time, and it'd be hard to live with themselves.
Right.
But what I'm hearing from you is that he's made improvement in school this year. He's owning his work more than he has before. He's doing a pretty good job at it. And so there's an opportunity to sort of approach him with, invite him to the next level of success for him.
Would it be appropriate for me to phrase that then as an invitation instead of a mother's, this is now what you will be doing moving forward? Asking, I feel like you're ready to step up. You're doing really well, and you've been doing well in getting things done and turning them in. I think you could take more ownership over that and putting that out there.
What do you think?
You know, he might respond better, and then it might avoid getting into a power struggle.
Yeah. Right, because this is really, I mean, your job is to help him step by step get more and more ready to manage this on his own. So I love what you started with, which is acknowledging you're doing so great and you're doing well at this. I think you're ready for, and I would try to keep it really simple language. I think you're ready for the next step. What do you think? Right? Because I think you're ready to take ownership of it. You know, like, you've got to be careful to keep corporate speak out of our relationship. Our kids.
You should hear my kid. You know, he would probably say, he talks.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Then you know him better than I do, obviously. But yeah, I think when you can say, so I'm thinking this is what's next. Do you think you're ready for what's next? Because truly, they do want to take on more responsibility if they think they can handle it. Where they get overwhelmed is when it feels like you should be doing this and this and this and this, and that feels like I can't do any of that. That's just too much. But if you're really helping him take aim on, I think the next level for you may be, maybe it's time for you to be in charge of what your homework is every night. What do you think? And, you know, and if he's ready for that, then it's like, well, would you like some help from me? Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to, like, you can then get really curious, help him get curious about what works for him and what doesn't. You know, and I don't know, I don't want to assume that he's got a phone or doesn't, but, you know, for some kids, the motor coordination of just writing down the homework in a planner is too much.
I think that's a big issue for him. He does not have a phone, and I do think he hates writing and feels like he's missing, everything's going so fast around him. Take out your assignments, get everything ready, and he's, like, not there. So,
yeah, and by the time, he's just got his notebook out and they're 10 paces down. He can't go back and remember. Right, so, like, there may need to be another structure for him to get that homework. But it doesn't necessarily have to be you, right?
Right.
You could come up with a structure that's, you know, checking with the, you know, the whiz kid in the class or using the online system and maybe having an email backup with the teacher. Or I mean, there's lots of different possibilities. That's why you want to take aim on the vision or the goal. And the goal is him saying, yeah, I think I can do that now, Mom. I think I'm ready.
But I need him to have buy-in instead of me saying, now it's time for you to do this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that general rule of thumb is, because your son's, he's 13, is that right?
He's actually, no, my daughter, she's 11.
Okay, right, I knew somebody was 13. Okay, so
sure.
So if they're getting to that age where you want to start, we want to start teaching them to make choices and to make decisions for themselves that are good decisions. And so oftentimes when we suggest something and say, what do you think, instead of saying, okay, it's time for you to do this, then it's their choice. And they have a lot more buy-in when it's their choice than when you're telling them to do it.
I think this will be a good strategy for him. I think that he will have a response differently. So I don't do it enough, you know, give him that opportunity to not only agree, but then he gets to feel good that he's made this decision.
Right. Yeah. I mean, my vision for you, what I want for you is to be at a point where you're saying to him, what do you need from me? Anything? Let me know how I can help. Right? And there are going to be days where he's going to come home and there's going to be something due tomorrow and he forgot to get it and he's going to be freaking out and he's going to need your help. And that's okay. You have to allow him the room to not do it perfectly at the beginning, right?
Right, sure.
And we have to give him all permission, just like we do ourselves, to sometimes get it wrong or make a mistake or, you know, and that's human. But if he can start moving towards taking ownership of it and start looking for ways to learn to do it himself before you tell him how, that's when he's engaging in problem solving for himself. So it's really important that in this process that you give him permission and say, now this may take a little while for you to get this. And that's okay. Because he's going to want to do it right the first time.
Yes.
And if he doesn't, then he's going to want to give it up because he can't do it.
Right.
So it's really important for us to give them permission to not do it right the first time and to set the expectation with them that they probably won't do it right the first time. That's okay. Or they may not. Not probably won't, but may not.
Okay.
So what do you feel like you focused on? And I want everybody, let's take a little time to do the final four and then we'll sort of check in with everybody else. But what do you feel like you focused on in this conversation?
You know, I focused on breaking it down. I mean, you teased apart two different issues. And again, the more we can, you know, you talk about take aim, the more I can focus on my small issue, the more I personally can follow through with that and not get distracted by muddying
Great.
It up.
Yeah, so. Love that. And so what's your aha?
Really, my aha is that I can reframe the conversation by asking him for his, you know, what's next and are you ready to handle that? It's something that I really need to do more with him. You know,
Great.
Reframing it, not saying,
yep.
okay, I've decided it's time. So
yeah.
and that's my aha,
well,
that I can have this same issue, but I can just approach it differently. You know, this
yeah.
is what I want to get there, but if I approach it differently, I can, you know, see if it's a better
Well, and I want to encourage you to stay curious there, too, right? Be open. Get curious about, are you really ready? Because he may say no but and then want to take on something else instead.
Right.
So stay in that curious place. It's not just, how do I get him to do what I think he should do? But do stay purely curious. And does he think he's ready? Because that's a great thing for you to know.
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you want to commit to?
Well, I want to commit to having this conversation with him, but I want to commit to, this is the tricky part, to supporting his response, even if it's not what I really want.
Great.
I mean, if he says no, or I really think you do a better job, Mom. You really do a better job. I mean, you have the phone. I don't have the phone. You know, it's never ending.
Yeah.
You know,
the quintessential negotiators.
But you know what? If I have this conversation and he still says no, at least he can take away that I actually asked him and said, "Hey, I think you're ready for this. What do you think?" And
yeah.
I think that will resonate with him
soon.
More. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is,
if
he says no, you can also say, "Okay, so what do you think you're ready to take on next?"
Yeah, that's great.
That's fine.
This is the time. Yeah.
It's a great
time. He needs to do more. I mean, I'm really,
well,
what did you say?
Rather
that time
than
when
he
it's time
needs,
for...
beware of the need. You have, in particular, it's got a need. I need this, I need that. Like, I want to give you a homework assignment. You ready? You're going to hate this.
All right.
I want you to replace the word need or should or have to or ought to with the word want for 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Every time you hear yourself say, I need to, I have to, I got to, I ought to, and everybody can try this. This is an amazing coaching strategy, guys. Replace it with the word want and just notice. It changes everything. I don't need to do the dishes. I want to do the dishes. Okay, why do I want to do the dishes? What do I want about? Like, it just forces you to really explore your use of language and your choices.
Okay. I need to know should become
I
want.
You have extra homework this week.
well, we know I need it.
No.
It was a joke.
But do you want it?
I want it.
Okay. So my challenge to you in terms of holding yourself accountable to the conversation is, will you go on the forum and let us know what happens after you had this conversation with him?
Okay. Well, I will try. I really don't get onto the forum, actually. But
okay.
It's on Facebook,
that's okay.
Right?
Isn't it's on Facebook. It's called Lifeline. It's the Impact ADHD Parenting Lifeline group.
I really should get on there. But
it's a great group.
I want to. I really want to get on there.
Good for you.
I want
beautiful
to get on there.
And if not, you can tell us next week. We'll check in. Or next call, okay?
Right. Okay.
So as we're sort of wrapping up, I just want to hear what anybody else feels like you focus on, what your aha was, or any commitments you're making this week. And I don't think we addressed the sleep issue so much, and I'm curious, Megan, how this showed up for you.
Well, what I really focused on was when you said, when in doubt, just focus on self-care.
Yeah, good.
Because, like, for instance, last night, my son was really, really, really dragging out his homework and his eye exercises that he needs to do. And the more he was dragging it out, the more anxious I was becoming. And I was trying to prevent him from getting upset, because my husband had to get up at like 4 or 4:30 in the morning to catch a flight. So he was already in bed, and I was really trying to hold things together. But the more I was trying to hold things together, the more anxious I was getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure my son was picking up on my anxiety.
Of course, yeah.
And then it just all fell apart. And as it turned out, he woke my other son up, woke my husband up, made him anxious so then he couldn't fall asleep. And he was up past 11 anyway.
Right.
So
yeah,
just everything backfired.
Yeah. So part of that is taking care of yourself. And part of taking care of yourself, and I want to, this is particularly for those of you with kids who are still in elementary school. It changes a little bit in middle school, but when you have kids in elementary school, their homework is not the end-all, be-all. It's not going to determine whether they get to college. At some point, you've got to call it and say, this is family life, and enough. So he's having a bad night, something's going on, we're stopping now, everybody's going to bed. Like, you have the authority to make that decision.
Yeah. I guess I always have this fear in the back of my head, because sometimes he wants to save things till the morning. And I think, you know, like, that's a slippery slope. That's a terrible habit to get into.
And, you know, we remember flexible structure. Sometimes you just have to say, this kid is in no condition right now to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to call it. My job as homework police in my house is usually to be the one to say, okay, wrap up. You're going to bed. I know you're not done. You're going to bed. Because sometimes they need us to do that for them. And sometimes, you know, and as I say, it's harder, when, especially in high school, but even in junior high, middle school. But in elementary school, guys, the homework is just not, it's not worth ruining your relationships over. And just remember that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Keep it in perspective. They're 8,
my
9
problem,
years old.
My problem is that my son won't, he a lot of times won't just go to bed then. He's like,
yeah.
He's wired and
yeah,
so that's,
and that's very, very common. And teaching them to know when to stop and to call it and all that is part of the management. Part of what they need to learn is to know, you know, you've hit a wall. It's time to stop now. You know, because you're no longer working effectively, and so it's time to stop and get some rest. And you have to feel confident in your decision to do that for them to feel confident in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. I mean, I'm not, you know, I get it. It really, it's the hardest thing because the pressure on us from the school and the outside world and they want to do it and they want to do well and they want to, I mean, like there's all of this stuff involved. But sometimes you need to say, it's a bad night, we're done.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Feel confident as a parent in knowing at the end of the day, that's part of, it's the hard part, but that's part of our job.
Well, I liked what you said about the, you know, changing the need to want.
Yeah. I challenge everyone to do that. It's hard, but it's really powerful. I did it for a year. When I first started coaching,
wow.
I made a commitment to myself, mm-hmm. and I did it for a year. I stopped making appearances. I stopped dropping off to, you know, showing up someplace just to show my face, you know, those kinds of things. Changed my life completely. It was great, but hard. And I don't do as many dishes.
Do you mean if you don't want to do it, really don't want to do it, and if it's just because you feel you need, then you say, then I'm not going to do it.
I made a commitment to myself that I wasn't going to do anything based on anything but want for a year. So I had to figure out what I wanted in doing the dishes, what was important about it to me, or in making dinner, or you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I wanted to drive my kids. I wanted to put them to bed. I had to find a way to want it to the extent that I could. I mean, I'm human. Right, but a lot of what we do out of this feeling that we're obligated or we need to or we have to, and we do to some extent. We're responsible for these beings, right? But when we connect to what we want in it, when we attach to that, it makes it so much easier to come from compassion and curiosity and non-judgment, and you know, because otherwise resentment builds. It's hard not to get resentful of these people that are taking so much of our time and energy if we don't feel like we're really giving it wantingly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
So, and this isn't as micro an issue. Usually we're taking aim, we're talking about tactics. This is a real coaching concept. And it's about being a choice. And recognizing that we're always a choice. Everything we do, we're a choice. And when we see that and really own that, it makes life a lot more joyous. It's hard, but it's beautiful. So, and I know we're over time. Just anybody else real quick, any ahas or commitments you want to share before we close for the day? Okay. All right. I'm going to say have a great couple of weeks. We will talk to you soon. Good luck with your wanting. Turn your wanter up really, really high and enjoy it. You know, it goes to 11. Right, because most of us parents have turned it way down. So turn your wanter up. Good luck, and I'll see you guys online. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Bye,
Thank
everyone.
You. Bye.